Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to go back a little ways, a number of years, and some of you will remember this thing that I'm bringing up. How many of you remember as a child or maybe even a teenager playing a game called Life, the board game? You know, you opened the box and you opened up the board, and on that board in the very center of it was this spinner. That was my favorite part of the game, just spinning the darn thing in here and going ring like that. But, you know, also on that board was a path that was a winding path from this corner all the way to this corner. And it had little plastic hills. It had little plastic buildings on it. Most of them, I think, were white, just white plastic. And each player, for their game token, had a little plastic car. Remember that? That little plastic car? And that little plastic car had six little holes in it for pegs. And everybody got one color peg according to what color their car was, and you put the peg in there, and that was you. You were the driver of the car. And the whole object of the game was to go from the beginning all the way to the end, spinning the wheel, going the number of spaces that it said to go, 1 through 9 or 1 through 10, whatever it was. And when you landed on that space, you were presented a choice. Go to college or go to work. Get married, remain single. Invest in this company or keep your money. Spend it on a vacation or put it in the bank. You had all kinds of choices, depending on where you landed. Every now and then you would land on one that, you know, pay your taxes, you know, or this costs you money, or you had to buy insurance or something like that. This is a game of life, everyday life. And the object was not to be the first one to complete, but to be the richest one when you got there. The very last thing you got to, there's like 4 or 5 spaces left. And if you remember this game at all, you came to a fork in the road. And if you landed on this one space, it said turn to the right. The other one said turn to the left. If you had to turn to the right, you ended up where? You ended up at this mansion in this retirement home. And it was great. It was the biggest thing on the board. If you had to go to the left, you ended up in the poorhouse. Yeah, you didn't want to end up in the poorhouse. You wanted to end up rich. You wanted to end up retired with lots and lots of money. The game of life. So there's a clear winner, the one who has the most money, right? You know the problem with the game of life? That Milton Bradley game of life? You know what the problem with that is? They never take into account that part of life is death. It's never even brought up in that game. You know, you finish it, you either have a lot of money or you don't have a lot of money. What they don't realize is the game of life, the Milton Bradley game of life, earthly life, always ends up in a tie. There is no winner. Because each one of us, at the end of our days, can't take it with us. Our material goods go on to somebody else. We go on to glory. The rest goes somewhere else. We can't take it with us. So why is it that so many people chase after material goods? Why is it that so many people, all their life long, try to set themselves up with creature comforts, thinking that they're getting ahead and filling their lives with what Jesus calls the bread that perishes? That's where Jesus is in this text that we had. You know, for the last 9 weeks, we've been studying the Ten Commandments. So to kind of bring you up to date where the lectionary falls, a lot of churches last week heard the lesson of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus multiplied the loaves. You know, there was a great crowd that was following Jesus to hear his teaching. They, like Jesus says in our text today, you saw the signs, you saw the wonders, you saw the miracles, but that's not why you're following me. The reason why you're following me now is because you ate your fill of the loaves. You were fed and you were satisfied. And you want more. All of those people, think about where they came from. They came from the surrounding towns and villages. In the time of Jesus, they were living as aliens in their own land. They were living as people in servitude to the Roman emperor. The Roman government was was the one that dictated everything. They're kind of like that wheel on the game of life. Whatever number the Roman government landed on is what you did. You followed the path, and you did what they said to do. And it usually cost you everything that you had. So much so that the head of the household would have to go out into the village or the town or the field or somewhere and work all day long for roughly 12 hours and to receive enough money to put food on the table for that day, a daily wage. All these people who followed Jesus out into the wilderness, the one thing they weren't doing was working. It's no wonder that on that one day when the hour got late and the disciples said, send them into the villages so they can get something to eat. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. It's no wonder what happened was Jesus fed them by the multiplying of the loaves and the fish. They hadn't worked. They didn't have anything to eat. And it was too late in the day for them to go out and secure anything to eat. Now, if you saw that happen, if you were hungry and somebody fed this great multitude with just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, you know, we'd probably follow him too. We'd want to see it again. First of all, we didn't have to work for the meal. It was given to us. Second of all, it's not everybody who can do that. You know, this man Jesus must be somebody who's very powerful. And so as they followed him all the way around the lake, the Sea of Galilee, they followed him all the way around. When they got there, Lord, when did you get here? And he says, you're not following me because you want to hear the word of God. You're not following me because of all the signs and wonders and the miracles that happened. You're not here because you want to see God's glory. You're here because you're hungry again. You want to have more bread and more fish. That's why you're here. And the whole discussion begins on who is the provider of everything, the provider of life. The Jews that were there, they brought up the fact that, you know, as our ancestors wandered in the desert, even God fed them manna from heaven. The problem is they didn't understand the story about the manna. They remembered the manna. They remembered that their ancestors ate their fill and they had enough food every single day. They remembered that. But what they didn't remember was that God said, only take enough for today. Make sure that you gather for those who cannot gather so that they can be fed too. You know, love your neighbor. And, oh, on the Sabbath, you aren't to gather. So the day before the Sabbath, gather 2 days' worth. You know, God put parameters on it. God taught them how to live in the bounty of his kingdom. And that's the lesson of the manna. The people had forgotten that. Instead, they felt entitled. They're following Jesus, so Jesus feed us. Instead, they wanted bread on their terms, not necessarily bread from heaven. How are we in the world today like these people? How are we in the world today accustomed to having the things that we want and gathering as much as we can and having security in our material goods? Certainly we wander through the world and we see these things, we gather these things and we take security in these things and we give thanks to God for his blessings. But also often, it's the blessing that becomes more important and not the God who provides them. And when we lack, when we're a little short, what do we worry about? We worry about that which we don't have instead of turning to the God who provides. Jesus teaches that he is the bread of life. He is the bread who came down from heaven. He is the one who God gives as the bread of heaven that leads to eternal life, the bread that endures. And the people say, give us this bread always. They're not understanding what he's saying. Believe in me. That's the work of God. Don't worry about the things that you don't have. Don't worry about where your next meal is going to come from. God will provide for you, just as he provided manna in the desert for those who were wandering, just as he provided food and, you know, bread and fish on the hillside for a great multitude of people. God will provide that which you need for life. Instead, Seek the bread that endures. Seek forgiveness of your sins. Seek God's redemption. Seek the love of God that never fails you. Follow the teaching of his word. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and strive for the promise of eternal life. Oh, and just as God taught the people in the wilderness, when that day comes, gather for those who can't gather. Tend to the needs of your neighbors, for the weakest among us. Make sure that you care for their basic needs too, and help them to understand that these gifts come from a loving God who promises to provide for his people. Take that one day in seven to rest from your labors. Gather enough so that on that day you have enough so that you can rest from your labors, you can come to his house, you can hear his word, you can receive his grace, and you can enjoy the love of God's family of faith. This is the bread that endures. This is the bread that endures. We live in a world where the powers that defy God spin that wheel, and they call us to travel this path. And when we land in the space, we're presented with all these different decisions that we have to make. When these things happen, and they do happen, earthly life is like that. But when we land on that space, and we're presented with the choice, follow the one who offers himself as bread of life. Too often we ask for the bread that satisfies. Pray for the bread that endures. Give thanks to God that so long ago he gave his only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. That's the work of God. That's God's will for his people, that we would believe in the one who offers himself for us. Today we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion just as we always do. Today, you know, myself and a couple other people will hand you a small morsel of bread and a little sip of wine. As we put these things in your hand, consider this. Consider the bread that endures. Consider the one who gave himself away as a sacrifice for our sin, that we might receive grace through his body and blood. Consider, as you see this little morsel of bread in your hand, consider the power of Almighty God, who in this little morsel of bread, as you consume it, as you eat the bread and as you sip the wine, that you are filled with the life of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all the powers of God spinning that wheel can't take that away from you. At some point, you're going to make a bad decision. At some point, you're going to come to a fork in the road, and as the story goes, you're going to take it. But as you do these things, the Holy Spirit goes with you. That one who pours out his life for you goes with you. He becomes one with you in this meal of forgiveness. As we receive the bread and receive the wine, we receive our living Lord Jesus Christ. And we are one with him. And he sends us out into the world to do the work of the gospel. Believe in the one who sent him, and to tell others of this amazing grace. People of God, don't chase after the loaves that satisfy. That's Jesus' message to us today. Just like when the children came up front and I showed them that they had a little snack, the world is going to show us all kinds of treats. The world is going to say, chase this bright and shiny thing and you'll have fulfillment. Your life will be complete. What the world can't offer is bread that sustains us forever. The world can only offer us the bread that satisfies at any given moment. It can't offer us the bread that satisfies forever. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me will never hunger. Whoever follows me will never thirst. And these are the words from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to a fallen humanity in need of his grace. Share that message with all those whom you meet. Share that message gladly. Invite them to worship with you. If they can't come, pray with them. Help them to understand that Jesus is the one who gives himself away as bread. And as he comes to us today in this Holy Supper, as he forgives our sins once more, as he feeds our faith and nourishes us, he also sends us out to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. In Jesus' name, amen.